You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Wednesday, November 16th, 2016. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman. Joined as always by the King, Scott Angle, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, Tony Cincotta as well. Dr. A will join us 8:40 this morning. Probably 8:45, but that's fine.
8:40. From inside injuries.
8:45 seems to make the more sense because, you know, it's kind of the new clock these days.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't tell Dr. A about that.
It's okay. He could be surprised. No big deal.
I was busy doing my in-season ranks on RotoExperts.com last night.
Oh, you can check those out using free radio when you go to RotoExperts.com at checkout?
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Very interesting how deep quarterback is. It's like we always talk about, you know, is this guy a top 12 guy? Is he startable? And you can go down to about 17 at quarterback, and all those guys are startable.
Yeah, we'll always talk a little bit about those quarterbacks later on. We got the waiver wire review, preview, depending on what league you're in coming up. We'll talk some NBA in the 9 o'clock hour. Corey Parson, you set something up for the 9 o'clock hour?
Yeah, I got a little, I don't want to say trivia, but...
You know I love trivia.
I'm going to test the fantasy knowledge of, NFL knowledge of Scott Angle, Tony Cincotta, and Greg Sussman.
All right, I'm excited for that. That comes your way.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Tony, of course.
Do you think anyone gives a shit?
In week 11, probably not. You know what I'm saying? They've got me this far.
That's funny.
And Tony's starting off like Tony.
You know what? I'm excited for it.
Scott, at least I'm not talking about, I didn't talk to Dr. A. Told him 8:40 instead of 8:45. Like, that's what you have a pre-show meeting, Scott. Not in the opening of the show. We're supposed to be, you know, out there and keep people's attention. Not discussing whether Dr. A is going to be on 5 minutes later.
Well, you know what? If you want to have a pre-show meeting at 4 o'clock in the morning, we can organize it.
I'm up.
Yeah.
Hey, let's look at the friction.
He's biscuity
today. Let's look at the friction here, because I'm in a great mood. Corey knows why I'm in a great mood.
Yeah.
Because the Maryland Terrapins last night. How about that?
That's a big-time W last night.
How about that?
Is that a big-time W, or is that the ultimate choke job by the Georgetown Hoyas?
Both!
On their home court right there in Verizon Center. A 7-point lead with 1 minute left to play.
54 seconds, bro.
A 7-point lead with 54 seconds left to play.
Yeah.
And then just wide right after wide right after wide right.
Magic happens with Gus Johnson in the building.
How about Gus and Bill on the call last night? So that was good as Maryland goes into the Verizon Center and escapes with a W.
6.5-point dogs. You would have loved this game, Scotty. They trapped them. They made them travel, go out of bounds repeatedly. It was awesome. We talked about it on Out of Bounds last night. Big-time win for the Terps. Feeling good. 6.5-point dogs over last night.
We're all feeling good this week. It's like your Cowboys, my Seahawks.
My Terps.
Your Terps.
And Giants.
But Tony's being crabby. I don't know what he's feeling good about.
Yeah. No, Alan Crabby played 31 minutes last night.
Alan Crabby's
been
bad,
you should get a jersey of that guy.
Alan Crabby's been bad recently. So hopefully he turns it around. Hey, Damian Lillard stunk last night, Tony.
He was 0-for-8 to start the game.
Yeah, that's an issue.
7-for-22 there. You know what? I did a poll yesterday. It was unscientific. There 172 people responded.
Okay.
Like, I always like to try to shape the shows there. Talk about people that don't give a shit about a trivia question.
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
What is the most important discussion item on a Tuesday fantasy football show?
Yes.
Reviewing Monday night's game. 1% of the people thought it was important.
Mm. All right. What's the wall?
Reviewing.
Wow. Yeah.
Viewing targets, 1%.
Okay.
Waiver wire, 62%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Strippers during daytime, 36%. We have a whooped audience.
Interesting.
You know what, though? We're going to have to go do some show research every week, Mark. We'll be coming on Tuesday.
There we go.
Every Monday afternoon.
you can do that, Scott. You can be in charge of that segment.
I'm good with that.
All right.
I'll see if I can expense that.
It seems unlikely.
Yeah.
Try. with a king's salary, you should, and going the daytime. Corey, you told me during the daytime, the strip club, you know, you're pretty cheap, right?
Yeah.
They should be able to get a discount.
Yeah, and Florida's nice a haven, meal. So we can get Tony approved, too.
Oh, wow. You know, Tony, location, should I get you a credential to the strip club?
Yeah. That's an awesome idea. That is brilliant. It's like when you get a credential for like a pro sporting event, it means you don't have to pay as a fan. You go cover it.
Right.
We should be able to get strip club credentials. Awesome idea.
But if you go cover it, you know you can't participate in anything. You're just covering the event.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, he's no boozing.
There's always negatives.
I have
and
to go
positives.
As a fan then. Forget it.
Sorry, Scotty.
Yeah.
You know, Scott doesn't participate anyways. He doesn't drink, and he's married.
It's yeah, but I love a good lap dance, though.
He loves it.
Oh, my God.
He loves really. It. Yeah.
He said that with passion. I get a little worried.
He didn't. His facial expression didn't change. It was like, I don't care if my wife listening.
It's not like she don't know. She
You're
knows.
Right.
You know.
It's all good.
Hey.
She accepts that. That's what makes her great.
That's what makes her great. And, you know, yeah. you were talking about being happy a moment ago, Scotty. I'm happy about my team. You're happy about your team and the strip club. Corey's happy about his team. And, you know, before the show started, you were talking about how pumped you are about your new tight end this week. With Rob Gronkowski obviously banged up, not able to fly right now across the country, you said how pumped you are to grab Ladarius Green on all of your teams.
Not all of them. Yeah, I got him on two of them last night.
Literally the quote you told me earlier was, I picked up Ladarius Green everywhere.
Yeah, well, everywhere was like two leagues. my other five like waivers run tonight.
Yeah.
But
and you try to get him in.
You know, Gronk, I need him in one league, you know, in our league, Corey, because like Gronk might not play this week. I feel like watching the flow of that game last night, even early, they were trying to get Green involved in key situations. And they go against Cleveland this week, which has been worst in the AFC consistently against the tight end this year. In scoring situations, Le'Veon Bell hasn't gotten into the end zone consistently. He's a big target. Ben Roethlisberger likes the tight end. I know Green has been injury prone, and you know there's been some issues with an experience, but I love the matchup and the situation this week.
Yeah, I like Ladarius Green as well. So I like to go over the waiver wire bids to give people that haven't been yet an opportunity to figure it out.
Yeah, let me know how it went.
So I spent $7 on Ladarius Green today.
Okay.
Morning.
No one out of what? Out of 100?
I didn't have 100 left. Let's say 55 or so.
Okay,
65,
cool.
Something like that. I spent $7. Nobody else bid on Darius Green. It's a bad feeling.
It makes you feel like you're like that one guy. That, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You want to go to the prom with me. I'm sure you got 1,000 dudes to ask you. You're not like you're the first.
The best bid of the week, and we've talked about this guy a lot, mainly because of me, Michael Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you guys think Michael Floyd went for? I have two leagues, and I'll give you can guess both of them around, both of them within like $5 of each other. So, how much do you think Michael Floyd went for?
I'm going
35.
$100 cap.
$1.
$1 since
I'm going. I'm going to say $5.
$36.
Corey
Parson, right on the money here.
Yeah.
Why is somebody spending $35 on Michael Floyd?
Because they figure you can get a player of Michael Floyd's caliber this late in the season.
Michael Floyd's caliber, he sucks.
I agree, but on paper. They're looking at what the name is on paper.
That's
the name
mistake.
Is still Michael Floyd. Apparently, they're not seeing how terrible the offense looks, how Carson Palmer looks. The only person rough rostering is Larry Fitzgerald, and also you could have a situation this week where you don't have Larry Fitzgerald. So then that makes Michael Floyd more appealing.
Larry Fitzgerald, I think he's going to wind up playing this
week. I think
so,
too.
Yeah, from the way the reports indicate.
Exactly. And again, Michael Floyd had this great game against San Francisco last week, but it was against San Francisco. And would you be surprised if all of a sudden he's the fourth wide receiver this week, Corey?
Would not buy any fresh.
Not remotely. You're going to spend a third of your full budget on that? Who knows what you have left? $35 on Michael Floyd? That is absurd.
It is, you know.
But what are you saving it for in reality?
I know. You can't go to the strip club. I know. But I just don't get what you're using it on that guy for.
Yeah, it's like Tony says, what are you saving it that for? It's like, I'd almost rather like just keep it in case of emergency, in case of a major injury or something.
I mean, at this point, we've spoken about grabbing your handcuffs to make sure that doesn't happen, spending what you need to get there. But this one just really, really surprised me. Another one that's interesting to me, Tyreek Hill. Out there on the waiver wire, I think he's an interesting name. How much do you think Tyreek Hill went for, King?
I'm probably going to say 60 after what I heard for Floyd, but I'm kidding. I'll say $24.
Okay.
19.
Tone.
8.
$23.
Okay.
There you go.
Now here's the
You're
thing.
There, right there.
Here's the thing.
Yep.
Alex Smith can't sustain this. He can't. He can't do nothing with Travis Kelce. He can't do nothing with Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden he's going to make Tyreek Hill into a fantasy star.
Well, what happens with it? I wouldn't say fantasy star, but it seems like when he looks to throw in a scoring situation, that's his preferred guy.
No, see, no. This is totally wrong. You got to remember these stats that he put up were with Jerry Macklin out of the lineup. What happens when Jerry Macklin comes back as well? And then you take a quarterback that only throws the ball 23 times a game. This is a bad move. Yeah. I don't think any move's bad at this time of the year, but I think for you to expect close to what we've seen the last two games is illogical because there were significant factors in play that made that different than what we see from the Kansas City Chiefs through 16 games.
They fell behind by 17 points.
Yeah.
Jeremy Macklin wasn't in there.
What he realistically is what you saw earlier this year. He scored a few touchdowns in some on some deep plays and some scoring situations. He's a flyer who might score once in a while.
Yeah, I agree. He's not someone we're trusting. And again, it's Alex Smith as the quarterback here. He can't sustain Jerry Macklin and Travis Kelce. Tyreek Hill, I understand he looks for in the red zone and he's this threat for a big play. But you're going to ever put this guy in your lineup and trust him?
No, this guy is like in Tyler Lockett, Chris Hogan.
Yes, absolutely.
Type of territory. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, I totally agree with
the
you.
The two plays that you've opened up with this morning, I would put Eddie Royal over both of them right now.
Well, that's where I was getting to.
This is a perfect example of a fantasy show that has 3 hours and has nothing to talk about. Because Tyreek Hill, you look at a quarterback that has 8 touchdown passes. You say he looks to him in the end zone. How many touchdowns Tyreek Hill have?
4.
I think 4.
How many of those you think were red zone targets or were more 40?
But if Alex Smith has 8 touchdowns and half of them go to Tyreek Hill, it's clearly worth talking about.
Zero of those are red zone targets, right, Tone?
There we go. I mean, they're long plays.
I'm saying once in a while they'll hit a long play with him or whatever, you know, regardless of
where
they...
But you think that's predictable?
No, what I said was this guy is a flyer in, like, Chris Hogan territory.
So why pay $26 for a flyer?
Exactly.
Oh, we're all agreeing here.
I don't know if you got that, but I said Tyreek Hill's like in Chris Hogan-like territory. He's a flyer.
No, Chris Hogan-like territory. Tom Brady throws about 40-plus times a game. One guy, the guy throws at 23.
But the type of you can't predict either guy, though, really.
All he's saying is the type of wide receiver who's going to make a big play.
Right.
Hogan's a better bet for the big play because of how much Brady throws.
Right.
But at the same time,
when Alex Smith might throw downfield once in a while, Hill's going to be the guy he's looking for.
Theoretically, yeah.
Yeah.
Corey, you mentioned Eddie Royal here, and I'd much rather have him, especially in PPR leagues, where I think he's going to get peppered with targets this week, the next couple weeks, without Alshon Jeffrey.
Familiarity with the quarterback and the system, and everybody's going one way. I wouldn't be surprised if the point production goes the other way.
Sure.
He has a horrific injury history and a history of being an underachiever, but he comes into a situation where he could be the main guy getting targets in that offense on a team that's always going to be playing from behind. I think that is the logical way to go if you want a wide receiver that you could plug into your lineup right now. I think the guy is Eddie Royal.
I got Eddie Royal for $4 last night. I thought it was a nice buy. You know,
that's a steal.
I just think he's going to.
Did anyone bid on him?
Yes, one person bid $2 on him.
Really, I would have liked Eddie Royal too, and I would have bid a low bid on him. I probably would have went $2. I'd never go one.
Right,
and I agree with everything you just said. It's going to be interesting. They brought Marcus Wilson back.
Did
Meredith go in your league?
Meredith's already owned.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, he was owned in the leagues that I was in too.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I think both those guys actually might exceed Cameron Meredith from what we've seen in their interaction with Cutler.
I agree too. As soon as I don't know. Do you think it's this week, Tony, about Marcus Wilson? Or are you waiting a week here?
No, I think it's going to be limited snap count. But the running back situation is going to dictate. We don't know what really is going on with Howard.
Yep.
I think if he's out, they're going to throw the ball in more in this contest than they usually were. I think they, you know, last week when Cutler threw those interceptions, they got behind and they couldn't control the ball. So I think John Fox is going to be over conservative this week. But if they don't have Howard, I think that goes out the window.
I totally agree with you. We'll talk more about those running backs, including Jeremy Langford, how much he went for on the waiver wire. A couple more guys that I want to bring up to the experts here and see what they think. It's a Waiver Wire Wednesday here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. So Eddie Royal and the Bears. Big story going into week number 11. What are they going to do without Alshon Jeffrey? And perhaps without Jordan Howard. Now, we're going to talk to Dr. A about Jordan Howard coming up in an hour or so. And because of the uncertainty surrounding him, gentlemen, Jeremy Langford was a hot pickup this week. Because you don't know what the deal is with Howard. And I'm not saying Jeremy Langford's any good, but we all say it every single day that running backs are at a premium.
Yep.
So if I told you that Jeremy Langford's on the waiver wire, Tony, how much are you spending on him?
$2.
$2. Okay. Scotty?
I think Jake Seeley made a very interesting observation in his column this morning on Roto Experts about how the Giants' defense is more vulnerable to inside runners than outside runners. So Kadeem Carey might be the answer if Howard doesn't play. So Langford, I'm not going to go more than $2.
All right. Corey?
Jeremy Langford, he's a $10, $11 guy this time of year.
$10, $11 guy this time of year. Jeremy Langford went for $30 last night.
Ooh, that's that running back premium.
There you go.
That's that running back premium.
The second highest bid was $20. So it wasn't like as outlandish as it sounds, obviously.
No.
But $30, I mean, it's outlandish, I'm just saying, in this league. $30 for Jeremy Langford, which I find insane.
Horrible.
Because he might not play.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
there are people just throwing the money away.
People decide, I have to get this guy, and nobody can compete for me. I'm going to overspend. And other Tony's point, it's like some other guys might be thinking, well, what else do I have left right now? Or maybe it depends on their record. I have to win this week. I have Howard, and what if he doesn't play?
Yeah, I think it's crazy. Especially if you don't have Jordan Howard and you're making this pickup, it's crazy. To me.
No, I'm not in. I'm not.
No, I'm not in Jeremy Langford either. Two more guys I do want to bring up here. Eli Rogers scored a touchdown last week. We're always trying to find the next guy on Pittsburgh. We said that yesterday. Eli Rogers was available. I bid $5. I did not get him. How much did he go for, Scott?
I'm going to say $17.
Seven.
Tone.
Based on those prices, 24.
He went for 16. He went for 16 here. Forget. You're one off. You're right around it, Scott. You're circling the drain here.
Yeah.
not draining the swamp.
Swamp will not be drained.
No. Same swamp.
but Eli Rogers, I think people just buying on Pittsburgh, right? Is that the deal?
It's the fantasy friendly offense. Ben Roethlisberger dropping back, throwing the football 45, 50 times. Fantasy friendly offense. Young talent like this. You never know when they can have a game where they go off and have a couple big plays. So Eli Rogers is a guy that's intriguing to fantasy owners down the stretch. I'm not paying that much of my budget for him at this time of year, but he's an intriguing play. When it's all said and done with this Pittsburgh Steelers team this year, where do they end their season at? Do they end their season in the AFC Championship game? Do they end their season on Super Bowl Sunday? Or are they not even a playoff qualifier?
So I think it's interesting. To me, this is the team that's going to win the division still, right? I still think Pittsburgh winds up winning the AFC North.
Okay.
However, if they don't, I mean, they're out. If they don't, they're not going to – I think they're going to bury themselves too much to get the wild card. So I think they win the division. I think they're a team that nobody wants to face. I do not think they make the AFC Championship when it's all said and done.
Okay.
Scott?
I think
why
you know,
a team nobody wants to face? You're the second host I've heard say that on this channel this week.
Sure.
They can't stop anyone defensively, so why would teams be afraid to play them?
Because I think, particularly at home, their offense has proven to be explosive. Big Ben's a different player at home. For whatever reason, they play differently at home. If they win the division, they play a game at home. That's why I think they win one weekend and lose the second weekend. They're an explosive offense, and if you sneak into the playoffs as a wild card, as a 5 or 6 seed, let's say you're one of these teams in the AFC West, Oakland or Kansas City, or Denver even, if they don't win the division. One of those teams, let's say, doesn't win the division, they go to Pittsburgh that first week of the playoffs, they don't want to do that. That's not a good spot for them.
I think it's all about mystique at this point. Your record says what you are, like Parcells says. This is an under 500 ball club. I think people overrate the Steelers because of the mystique. Roethlisberger has won 2 Super Bowls. They're the Steelers. If you strip away the team name and the logo,
sure.
They're 4-5.
Yep.
They don't have a good defense. Yes, they got a pretty good offense, but
a pretty good offense.
They
can drop numbers on you.
But defense is what wins in the playoffs, and their defense is pretty darn bad. If they get a home wild card game, they'll win that.
That's what I just said.
But then I think that's the best they'll do. They'll lose in the division.
So you're with me.
Denver. They would have a good chance of losing to Oakland, who I think plays better defense than they do. Even Oakland isn't great defense. I think the Steelers are overrated.
They could beat Oakland 55-50.
Correct.
I think Oakland can make more plays on defense. They'll both give up a lot of points, but I think Oakland tends to make more timely plays on defense. If they go against Denver, I don't think they're beating Denver. I think the Steelers are overrated because of Mystique.
Hold on, four and five.
All right, but before you just said all that, and that's great, and then you agreed with me. You agree with everything I said. You know that, right?
Right. but I don't agree with what you said. Like Tony said, you know, there's such a scary team in the playoffs.
I said they're a team that in the playoffs you don't want to play because, especially if you have to go.
I don't agree with that.
But if you are Oakland, right? You're Oakland. Let's use that example. You don't win the division. Denver wins the division, right? So you're Oakland, so you want a wild card, right? That means you're going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
For the first weekend of the playoffs.
Yes.
You think Oakland likes that matchup for themselves?
I don't
in
see
Pittsburgh.
Why not. I
in
feel
Pittsburgh.
Like they're an even team with Pittsburgh.
I think in Pittsburgh.
I don't think they're a scary ball
club. Old school football right there. Oakland and Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You don't think, though, they would rather play the Pittsburgh Steelers than the Denver Broncos?
I think that.
Oh, heck yes.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'd rather play them as Kansas City.
That's what I mean. Kansas City, like, I'm looking at this team, right? The plus differential, Pittsburgh's plus +8. They've lost 4 in a row.
Right.
Everything's trending the wrong way with this Pittsburgh Steelers team. And the Denver Broncos, defending Super Bowl champions, they're in third place. They'd be a wild card team. The Kansas City Chiefs right now are leading in that division, but they could end up being a wild
card. Absolutely.
Team. And you know, Kansas City, I'm sure a lot of people will look at that team as a team you'd rather play than the Pittsburgh Steelers. But they won 5 in a row,
right,
and it's 7-2. But we think them as fraudulent. Their record at home is 4-0, and they're just an average team on the road, 3-2. So that would fall into that. But that's the only team I see in the playoffs that would fall in that, besides the whole AFC South, which the whole division stinks.
Right. So think about that. You just eliminated the division. You pretty much agree with Kansas City here.
Yeah.
So it's like... Yes,
the point I'm trying to get to is, do the New England Patriots have a red carpet to the Super Bowl?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Oh, my God. The AFC, is that pitiful?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
See, I think in a one-game situation, though, the Denver Broncos are still a team that you can't discount because they're playing with an unhealthy defense. They get a Kaqib Talib back. You can't throw against them, and you have to run it through them. And New England has been successful with LeGarrette Blount, but I think people are discounting this Broncos team, which is 7-3, despite having a first-year quarterback, first-year starting quarterback.
An injured first-year starting quarterback.
Yeah, and he's got to get better. I think this Denver Broncos team is being written off too early.
I don't think people are writing them off.
There's not enough accounting for defense. Everybody looks at offense, and I'm not saying necessarily you, Greg, and like, you know, give the Steelers this mystique. You don't win Super Bowls by scoring a ton of points. You play defense, and it gives you your best shot of winning in the playoffs. The Patriots, they don't have a great defense, but they're so well coached. You know,
sure.
That's the thing about them. And, you know, their quarterback's like a head coach on the field, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the old mantra, defense wins championships, and that's fine. I'm not saying Pittsburgh's winning a championship. Corey, you asked how far I think Pittsburgh gets. I say I think they make the playoffs, they get to the second weekend, and they lose to a better team, whether that's Denver, whether that's New England, whether that's another one of these teams where they have to go travel on the road to go.
Week-to-week league, I think they end up in the AFC championship game.
Okay, there you go.
How do they get there? Who do they beat? Who do they beat to get there?
Whoever's in the way.
They're not that good to beat just whoever's in the way.
If Denver's
in the way,
they're
not
New England and win?
No. They don't go to New England and win. They can go anywhere else and win.
Do they beat Denver on either field?
Let's say, in my head, they'll probably be the 4. They play the 4-5 game.
Oh, that could be the 3-6 game because the AFC South sucks.
Yeah, that's true, too. They play the 3-6 game. They'll be home for that game, so then they'll travel to the 2. They'll probably go to Denver.
They'll probably go to Denver.
Yeah. I don't know if they could win in Denver.
Denver or Oakland. They'll either go to Denver or Oakland. They'll play to win that division.
Well, you know what? Not necessarily, because the AFC South team could lose to an AFC West team in the first round.
That's true, too.
So they can go wide of in New England.
And then they lose that week. Then.
Yeah. So, you know.
Nobody likes the Ravens, huh?
Joe Flacco's not right.
They've been playing really good defense lately.
Joe Flacco's not right. You know, Joe Flacco's not right.
And also, we point out the Steelers' 4-game losing streak, and it's true. They've obviously lost 4 in a row. But, you know, one of them was Landry Jones. One of them was Big Ben, obviously not healthy. One of them was against Dallas, who's 8-1.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
The game that Ben wasn't healthy, they were getting killed before he got hurt against the Dolphins.
No. I'm talking about last week when he obviously they got crushed last week, too.
Okay.
Crushed last week, too. But he wasn't healthy.
Yeah. Is he going to still go for 2 points every week?
That's not Ben. That's not Tomlin.
No, I know. As far as them making the playoffs, like, will that come back to haunt him at some point so we have something to talk about all offseason?
I hope so. We can only hope so, I guess.
Now, let me throw this out at you guys right here. I'm getting ready to do my fab bids for tonight.
Yeah.
Putting them together. I got a team that I'm trying to make a run with. I'm still a LeSean McCoy team. I don't own Mike Gillisley.
Okay.
Do you think I should put a dollar on Reggie Bush?
I'd put like a dollar on Damian Williams and Reggie Bush.
Okay.
I think Reggie Bush, I don't know if I'd put a quarter on him.
Yeah. I'd much rather spend a dollar on Damian Williams than a dollar on Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
How's that?
Damian Williams? You mean Jonathan Williams?
No, I mean Damian Williams.
Damian Williams is not available.
Okay.
Yeah, my bad. He's been gone.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of people picking him up this week.
Yeah, he's out of here. Only Miami running back on my waiver wire is Kenyon Drake, and he belongs there.
Yes, he does. Cool name, though.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake.
Cool name. How much do you think your boy Tyler Lockett went for, Scotty?
I'm going to say...
Somebody picked him up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
He's not waiver wire fodder.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not. I'm going to say $13.
$13. Corey? Yeah.
$2.
Antone?
$5.
Nailed it.
$5 for Tyler Lockett. How pumped are you,
Recency
Scott?
Recency buy-in-see.
Yeah. How pumped are you about that?
I think it's justifiable. I think the guy's healthy again. He had a good game last week. He's going to be boom or bust, you know, or
so
have a decent game or bust, but I think it's viable. He's not waiver wire fodder. I think it's fair.
Rank these guys. Chris Hogan, Tyler Lockett, Tyreek Hill.
I did in my in-season ranks on rotoexperts.com right now. I go Lockett, Hill, Hogan.
A shocker that Tyler Lockett's on top of that.
It has nothing to do with the fact that who he plays for.
Wait, didn't you just say Chris Hogan should be above Tyreek Hill just a few minutes ago?
No, I said in the same grouping, I said.
But I thought you said we agree that the Patriots throw the ball 40 times and then Tyreek Hill.
Look, if they throw them up in the air, whoever falls down, they're all within that group. Okay. But I feel like more confident in Lockett than those other two.
I have no confidence in Tyler Lockett. I think he's a waiver wire guy.
Right.
I understand that the offense is going to start playing better now with a healthy Russell Wilson, and Lockett is getting healthier. Maybe I'm just upset because I was in on Lockett, drafting him in the middle rounds, and it didn't pan out.
Right.
But I don't really see, it's no way going into December that you can trust starting Tyler Lockett on your fantasy football.
Oh, well, he's not a starter. No.
Then what's the purpose of picking him up?
Not unless, you know, you play in the Granite Street Tavern type of league where it's like 14 teams, et cetera. Well, but see, because somebody needs a wide receiver this week. You know, we got teams on bye.
I'd be comfortable starting him if my top guy is on a bye. I'm looking through some of my teams right now that are still like decently in the hunt. I think Tyler Lockett will be on two of them teams. It is no chance in hell he gets in my lineup.
Not even with buys.
And this not even with buys. And this has an extra flex spot on it. It's 11 man rosters.
All respect. I think you're talking emotionally.
I don't think so, Scott.
Because of how he burned you.
I don't think so, Scott.
I think there's a lot of situations where if you have a bye week, you know, you're scraping for a wide receiver, he's as good as anybody.
I'm just going through the list right now. Is Tyler Lockett on this team? Hold on one second. I mean, we can continue. We don't have to do this segment.
Well, you look it up. We'll go to break.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll talk some headlines from yesterday as we look toward week 11. The Roto Experts in the Morning rolls on right after this. We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Sussman Cincata, Angle and Parson. What's happening? What's happening?
Yo.
What's going on? Corey, you were the one that I believe wanted to give a lineup with Tyler Lockett.
I'm going to set my lineup with the help of you gentlemen right here. This is a team. This is a 20 roster spots. It's a 12-team PPR. You start 11 people. You have a dual flex. Which can be a running back, wide receiver, tight end, and then you have a place kicker in defense. This is the Fantasy Football World Championship. This team is in a good position right now to hit the dominator, meaning having the best record and the most points after week 13, essentially ending the fantasy season right after Thanksgiving for the most part.
Right.
So my starting quarterback this week is Blake Bortles. Matt Ryan's on a bye.
Right.
It's never pretty with Blake Bortles, but it'll be 23 points when it's all said and done. Then my running backs are LeGarrette Blount, Devonta Freeman's on a bye. Mm-hmm. LeGarrette Blount, and Tim Hightower.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot of stiffs on the bench besides.
Clearly.
Matt Asiata is on this bench. You know, that's depth. Ronnie Hillman, and you know, that's just whatever. Now, my wide receivers for this week, I'm rolling out Mike Evans, Jamison Crowder, Golden Tate. Right? We comfortable with that?
Everything good?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
All right.
My tight end, now I have three tight ends on this team. Tyler Eifert, Travis Kelce, and Zach Miller.
Okay.
All of them startable. I'll make that decision at some point. Right now, let's put Travis Kelce in there, even though I can't stand Alex Smith.
And he
hates me back, right? Now it's time for my two flexes. Rishard Matthews gets one of these flex spots, correct?
I think so.
Now, for my last flex spot, it comes down to Tyler Eifert, Zach Miller, Willie Snead, and Tyler Lockett.
It's unquestionably Tyler Eifert.
I agree. To me. I kind of agree.
Yeah.
Or don't start Travis Kelce. And we're going to start Travis Kelce, and then
I think Willie Snead deserves to be in this lineup.
Yeah, I was going to say start Eifert, not Kelce, and start Snead.
Yeah, the only difference is, this league, it's 1.5 points per reception, right, for the tight end?
Yeah. No, it's just 1 point for – this is a FFWC tone. So it's 1 point for the tight end.
Yeah, Willie Snead, I thought he was underrated last week, and I think the same thing in this contest. I don't think their running game's going to work. I think he's going to throw the ball 40-plus times.
Mm-hmm. So Willie Snead is in here. So
then I'd use Eifert over Kelce, like he said.
You use Eifert? I mean, I think that's going to be a Sunday. That's going to be a game-time decision on Sunday morning, how I play. I think Rishard Matthews is a guy that has to be in your lineup right now, especially the way he's been playing, has an excellent matchup this week. So, I mean, I really can't see too many situations where you're putting Tyler Lockett in your lineup.
We're not even considering him. But what I'm saying, your situation is one.
Yeah.
Other people have different situations where they might be considering
But when you get down to it.
You don't have any major receivers on bye there.
But even last week when I had Crowder on bye last week and I had Tate on bye last week, Tyler Lockett was still on my bench.
And I had
the luxury of these two tight ends.
You had to see at first that he was healthy again and could play like he did last week.
I just don't see it in very rare situations where you can really feel comfortable putting Tyler Lockett in your lineup. I think the offense, the Christine Michaels wave was – finally, Christy Michaels is exactly who we thought Christy Michael was, a ham sandwich. We've known that for years now. It took, 11 weeks to figure it out for this year. Now, when that offense gets rolling, that's Doug Baldwin, that's Jimmy Graham, that's Russell Wilson. You put C.J. Procise in there. You get Thomas Rawls back in the mix. That's the Seattle Seahawks going down
Tyler
the stretch.
Tyler Lockett will be involved.
Right.
He will, but not as a fantasy starting wide receiver, but if – I've already said,
he's depth.
He's depth. He's definitely depth. He's not waiver wire fodder. He's not a starter. He's depth.
Let's talk about the ham sandwich for a second.
Yeah, Christine Michael.
Hungry.
Christine Michael has been cut here by the Seattle Seahawks, and I don't want to say the writing was on the wall. I don't think it was, but that was a fast descent here, Scotty, for Christine Michael.
I was reading one of the hometown papers last night, because when something like this happens, I always love to go to the beats, and see what they say.
Go to the beats.
And,
there
were a lot of, even though Michael had some good games this year, he really trended down after the big game against San Francisco. But not just numerically, what we can look at is obvious. There were also, he made a lot of fundamental glaring mistakes. And one thing that the Billingham Herald pointed to was that in the loss to Arizona, that he was... he was running in the open field, and he ran out of bounds and didn't get a first down. Last week, C.J. Procise caught a pass in the flat, and he went 13 yards. He took on a defender and cracked him and went for another five, and the entire sideline started jumping up and down. He wasn't hitting his keys when he was reading blocks. There were a lot of fundamental mistakes. He got Rawls back, so a lot of people say it's surprising because they just look at the numbers, but there were a lot of telling signs here for those who are following the team consistently.
Tony, Christian Michael has been cut yet again by the Seattle Seahawks. He's proven to be an effective runner. Do you think somebody picks him up?
He's a decent runner. Yeah, he's going to get a shot, but he could end up being like Robert Turbin, exposed, and a guy that basically just goes from team to team as a third running back.
I think, what about Washington taking a shot on him?
I think there's a lot of teams. I think Washington, Minnesota.
Minnesota was the one I thought of, yeah.
I think the Chicago Bears might want to take a shot on them. It's a whole crazy situation. How about the Green Bay Packers, if anything?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Sure. Think about the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, what about – look at that. I think they're satisfied with James Starks, though. I think
they can use him for depth. Yeah, though, but what do they got behind? Ty Montgomery and Don.
He's never going to be a starter.
Yeah,
I don't think anywhere he goes is going to be a starter. So
no, that's gone.
It's going to be a depth situation, yeah. No matter what.
Yeah, I kind of like all the spots you guys were naming. Makes sense to me. We'll see if he gets another shot. We'll see here. So Christian Michael cuts. That means, Corey, Thomas Rawls is going to play this week, right?
Thomas Rawls is going to play this week. Thomas Rawls takes over the quote-unquote workhorse role. I look at CJ Procise, more of a third down guy. Is that correct, Scott?
I don't think so. I wrote about this in my advanced scout earlier this week on rotoexperts.com. I think it's a timeshare right now with Rawls. Proving what he can do. The Seahawks like Procise as a runner, too. I think he was more impressive than I even expected. I think at most, at least in the short term, this is a timeshare depending on how Rawls plays. But, you know, if Rawls, coming off another injury, doesn't show what he did last year, Procise could be the main guy.
Let me ask this, kind of along the lines of what Scotty was saying. Right, Procise performed well. Rawls is coming off another major injury. Let's say Rawls re-aggravates himself. Procise continues on. Corey, is CJ Procise about to win you your fantasy league?
I think he's a player that's in that conversation, in that mix, especially in PPR leagues. We know this offense is about to get picked up and rolling with a healthy Russell Wilson. So I do think that he's got to be him and Cam Meredith. And I really don't think you got to go all the way in on Cam Meredith because Eddie Royal is probably the better play and the sneakier play, the dollar make you holler guy.
Right.
So I think CJ Procise, if he's on the wire, which he probably shouldn't be, if you listen to this program, you should have scooped him up last week, then I do think that he's a guy that is going to be a starter from week 11 to week 16.
Tony, CJ Procise for you, is that a guy that you win your league with?
You could win your league with him. I mean, you're talking about a running back and trying to get two running backs on a fantasy team is a tough task. So, yeah, he's a guy. Yeah, he definitely could.
Okay. Hey, so Rob Gronkowski, as we mentioned at the top of the show, he can't fly. He's got something wrong with that chest or his lung. He cannot fly at the moment. So it seems like he's going to miss the game here this week in San Francisco. Scotty, you were saying, though, that if the game was at home, he would play.
There's a possibility. We'll talk to Dr. Ray of Inside Injuries. And there's an article on rotoexperts.com talking about the injury in detail, about how it's like it's not as bad as it sounds, but doctors say you can't fly with an injury like that. He wasn't able to. He was supposed to do a promotional appearance for Madden yesterday, and he couldn't.
Yeah. So that my point with that was, I'll ask Dr. A this, that he can't fly, but theoretically he can play football? I mean, that sounds crazy to me.
I don't know. It's like, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to speculate. I know he can't fly.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Are you surprised, Tony, that it took this?
How do we break down these injuries? I'm always baffled by this because Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport can't even agree on the
injury. I know, right?
That's true.
That's crazy, right? You saw that?
Well, people laugh, but you wrote an article on it, and I got a guy coming on to talk about it. Like, and we have two guys that are arguing about what the injury is.
Well, those are insider reports that they get from the team. You know, this is a guy that might know more physically about the injury itself.
But they don't know whether, I mean, it's either his lung is punctured or it's not, and we can't even agree on that.
I think most reports have indicated it is a punctured lung.
Well, no, Schefter said it's not.
What I read was is a punctured lung is not as serious as it sounds.
Right, but I'm saying Ian Rappaport says it's not.
No, Ian Rappaport says it is. Schefter says it's not.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
No problem. There's obviously something wrong with his lung. I think I read on Roto World yesterday a better term. Hold on. Let me see if I could find that. He used a different term than punctured. They said that Rob Gronkowski has a perforated lung.
It's not a laughing matter, but
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
The only thing I know about perforation is from notebooks. That's about it.
He's not playing this week. Maybe he has little small tears in it.
Maybe that's what it is. Sounds right.
It's like a piece of loose leaf.
Nice job.
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
A loose leaf lung.
Tony, are you surprised?
Tear along this line.
Are you surprised it took the Vikings this long to cut Blair Walsh?
Yeah, I actually thought he was going to kick that last week, but
You know, this is very sad. You know, this
I agree.
Donald Trump's America. Everybody's supposed to have jobs, yeah. And this guy lost his job.
Yeah.
And Kai Forbath with 84% percentage comes in to take his place. This is a very sad. Can you imagine the one bad kick? Like, we debated this. How long,
yeah.
Sussman?
Yep.
We debated this thing. One bad kick could really change this guy's life. I mean, yeah. When you're a kicker, you can't get too old for the position. You're, like, not out of shape for the position. I mean, look at Sebastian Janikowski, Adam Vinatieri.
Sure.
It's just repeating the process. It's just like golf. The way you're successful is repeating the process and having the proper mechanics. And yet, this guy can't pull that off.
He got the yips. He missed that big kick last year, and he couldn't and mentally he couldn't do it. He couldn't get right. So it's unfortunate because when he missed that kick last year, he stood in his locker room and he answered every question. You feel what I'm saying? So I got a lot of respect for guys like that. You know, he showed up for his concession speech. You know what I mean?
You know, guys can after getting the mental break or whatnot, they could turn around. You saw it with Nick Folk, who left Dallas for the Jets. I mean, Nick Folk's been a good kicker for them.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. He probably needs to change the scenery.
He needs to change the scenery. He needs to get out of Minnesota. I mean, Mason Crosby stuck through in Green Bay. I mean, he went through a ton of problems in Green Bay. He hung on. But a guy like Billy Cundiff, he doesn't survive, right? Billy Cundiff missed a chance to send his team to the Super Bowl. He didn't.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And it's funny, they replaced him with Justin Tucker. He's one of the best kickers in the NFL.
Exactly. Now you look at the situation for Blair over here.
Yeah.
What if he ends up in Miami?
Sure.
Or San Diego. Oh, yeah. He goes from Minnesota to a big time for a nice city like Miami or San Diego.
I don't think he gets a shot during the season, but he'll certainly get a shot in training camps next year.
Yeah.
As every team needs kickers. But I think teams are going to let him ride out this year and try to fix whatever the issue is there. So, yeah, it's good kicker talk.
I believe all these kickers have, like, what do you call it? Sports psychologists that they go to.
They should. They should have. Yeah. We need to have a sports psychologist on the show.
Why a
sports psychologist? That's the dumbest thing in the world. Why not do what Sebastian Janikowski does? Just get a 12-pack.
Yeah. or you get a 12-pack and then you talk to a sports psychologist. Yeah,
hey, you guys, this is the show has kind of become about me. I'm about to spend $15 on a defense this week. Is that outlandish?
Yes.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, when I was doing my in-season ranks last night, I go off. I go.
How many bell rings have we had in this hour for this guy?
I go off, you know, and I really study the defenses. There are a lot of defenses out there that have, like, you know, kind of turned it on lately. You know, it can at least give you a respectable performance. I know everybody wants to run it there and grab Miami because they played really, really well recently, but. You know, if you don't get them, there are other units out there.
When we come back,
defenses turn it on, or is offenses just play bad in that game? Like, are you giving credit for Tampa Bay to turn on the defense last week, or are you giving credit to Jay Cutler for performing for?
Well, I wasn't necessarily thinking of Tampa Bay when I was making that.
No, but I'm just saying an instance.
Well,
you know what I'm saying
like the Ravens have really picked it up lately. The Dolphins have really picked it up lately.
We'll talk more about this on the other side. The Roto Experts in the Morning continues right after this. All right, somehow we're talking about defenses here.
Sorry.
It's okay. Corey.
And kickers.
It's a great show.
Got to be completist at this time of year, you know, especially got guys on bye weeks. Sometimes kickers and defenses can swoop in and save your victory.
You're absolutely correct, Scott. I got a big game from Josh Lambeau last week.
Corey, you have said you're going to spend $15 on a defense this week.
Now I'm spending $15 on a defense.
Yeah. We don't know which defense it is yet, but you're going to spend $15.
I have prioritized. I hope nobody in my damn league is listening. Mm-hmm. I have prioritized, and most likely they are. I have prioritized and but I'm in a couple of these leagues, so they don't know which one it is. I have prioritized and added the Miami Dolphins as my $15 defense, and then the Kansas City Chiefs for a little bit less. See, I'm spending $15 out of my $55 on the defense.
Do you realize how absurd that sounds? You're excited for tomorrow.
Hmm?
We get on here at 7 a.m. Eastern time, and you tell us what the next highest bid was.
Yeah. All right, that'd be.
That's what I'm really
personally, if I feel like I'm aggressively have to go after somebody, I would top out about $9.
Jesus,
you never know.
$9. If I feel I have to have this defense,
I don't feel like the team really has no. I mean, anything could happen down the stretch. I can't take this fab. You know what I mean? I can't take this fab with me. So why not?
Yeah.
I want to show up some things, and I see.
Rather overspend than underspend.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather be safe than sorry. I don't even want to be rolling out. I'm not trying to be fooling with, you know, the Chargers defense 1 week or something like that.
Chargers are
but
good.
How predictable.
The Chargers are good
how
defense.
See, this is what I'm saying. Like, how predictable is it week to week who's going to have the best defense?
Yep.
Yeah,
nobody would have picked Tampa Bay last week. And I can go down the list each week, and it's just predicated on poor offensive play. It very rarely has to do with a strong defense. So we would all play Denver and Arizona. You know, a lot of people had Arizona becoming in the year. And it's just poor offensive play because our defense is measured in statistics that are basically, I mean, the New England Patriots left a ton of yardage, right? If they make a couple turnovers, they become a good defense. Like, the fantasy scoring for defenses is crazy.
Yeah, and to his point, Miami faces L.A. and San Francisco the next 2 weeks. But you look at the last two games, they've scored 29 defensive points the last two games. That's because they got the defensive touchdown. You can't predict that. But the three games before that, they got 6, 9, and 6.
That's what I'm saying.
So if you can't predict those defensive touchdowns, if I'm going to get 6 or 7, I could live with that. So that's why I want Miami. I like the schedule. And look, at very least, maybe I'll get 6 or 7 points.
I mean, these are must-win days in fantasy football. And if I think a defense can put me over the top, and then I will spend $15 on them.
I can see Jared Goff fumbling on the second play of the game.
Yeah, I'm not tripping off of popular opinion. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the team is nothing else on the wire. The team don't really have no holes yet. Now it's a 1 week league, obviously. You know what I'm saying? So it's a 1 week hobby. But if I want to put it in on the defense, you guys are not going to shame me for spending my fab money on a defense.
Shame.
Can I ask you guys a question? Now we talk about this, and Jake Seeley talked about this on the site this morning. We talk about throwing out reputation at this time of the year and look at the production. I want to throw this out to all three of you. What's the total amount of fantasy points that the Vikings defense has scored in the last three games?
I don't know. 7?
Just get.
9.
6. Tony?
6.
Greg?
6.
7.
Well, that's because I'm a genius.
Yeah, wow. But people still don't want to cut him.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of talking about more defenses and kickers, let's go to Mike in Chicago, who hopefully doesn't have a defensive kicker question.
Yeah.
Mike, good morning.
Sorry.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Not a defense or kicker question.
Thank God.
Not too much. I've got a Crabtree conundrum. He got shut down by Denver pretty badly, cost me the week. He's going up against the tough Texans defense this week. I was wondering if it'd be worth dropping Tyrod as my backup QB to pick up somebody like Michael Floyd or Randall Cobb or Jeremy Maclin.
Tony.
I think you can always cut a backup quarterback at this time of year. I think the extra pitch is not something you need. I would always try to trade him first in a 2-for-1. Like if you wanted to trade to a team that has a quarterback on a bye, there's 6 teams on a bye this week, you could take Tyrod Taylor and maybe put him with Michael Crabtree and try to land like a Golden Tate or something like that. You can always go that route. But I wouldn't cut him for those guys you just mentioned.
Yeah, I can understand your frustration with Crabtree, but you're not going to find the replacement on the waiver wire.
All right, well, the trade deadline's passed, so I'll just roll with them. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
There you go. There you go. Corey, your guy.
Which one?
I got two of them, actually. RG3 could return to practice this week. What are the Browns doing?
If Robert Griffin gets in there and he returns to practice, yeah, and he gets a chance to be the starting quarterback for this team, that's when we'll see if Hugh Jackson should be able to keep his job.
What makes you do that?
Because I don't think that you can fairly judge the job that Hugh Jackson has done without a quarterback.
But shouldn't Hugh Jackson just be starting the rookie? What's the point of starting like a guy like RG3?
To win and save your job.
But like for the organization, if you're doing it for the organization.
Listen, this might be his only chance
at
getting a head coaching job again.
Right.
I mean, at being a head coach. These next 5 weeks might be his last 5 weeks as a head coach.
Sure.
I'm going balls to the wall.
Balls to the wall. Yep. So if RG3 is the best you got, throw RG3 out there.
Throw RG3 out there.
What about your other boy?
Who is that?
Yeah, the crier.
Huh?
The crier.
Which one?
Tony Romo.
Tony Romo, what he did yesterday was excellent.
Admirable.
Admirable. What he did yesterday was excellent. He said the truth. He remembered when he was in Dak's spot. And how much of an exciting time it is, and Dak has earned the right to be the quarterback of this football team, and he's not going to be in a distraction. He'll step aside, and we'll see what happens.
Did it make
very
you,
somber, Tony Romo.
Did it make you tear up?
I was very, very distraught. I love Tony Romo.
Tony, what did you think of that press conference? I'd like to hear that.
I think that he should have gave Hillary Clinton a few tips. He was absolutely amazing.
Wow, absolutely amazing. Wow.
He was amazing, and I'll tell you what, that's big, I think, for that Dallas Cowboys team, because that could have been a huge distraction going forward. So I'm glad he took it out of the – I want to know, though, like, was he incited to do that by the coaching staff or the front office?
Let's talk about that when we come back.
We can do that when we come back. Hour number two comes your way here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two is underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Sussman, Angle, Cincata Parson are with you. This hour we will hear from Inside Injuries, Dr. A, who will try to give us a doctor's insight on Rob Gronkowski, Jordan Howard, and more. Corey, before we went to the break, we were talking about your guy, Tony Romo.
Yeah, yesterday I think was a day that...
Living infamy.
For Dallas Cowboy fans. Yesterday, I think it was a day that we saw... I saw it coming. I didn't want to believe it until after the Green Bay game. You know what I mean? My thing was put Dak on the bench. I don't care. This is Tony Romo's team. He gives the team the best chance to win. I think after the Green Bay game, I started to feel a bit like, you know, all right, that time is coming. I don't think it's a situation where he sits out this season as the backup quarterback and then next year gets into a training camp competition.
Right.
More than likely, that's not going to happen.
Oh, now you don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, no, it's not. I think what you saw yesterday, it was a guy that realized that he may have started his last game as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. You think about the run that has been. He's been terrific as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, but he's had some very bad moments. And when he has his bad moments, they play out on the national stage all the time. Antonio Romo's last nine starts that he completed the game, you know what his record is? 8-1.
Mm.
He was on the verge of becoming an elite NFL quarterback.
36 years old.
But his body betrayed him. His body betrayed him down the stretch. So it was sad to see that yesterday. I think at some point, probably after the Green Bay game, Steven and Jerry they probably got with Coach Garrett, and they were like, listen, we got to ride this kid, Prescott, until the wheels fall off. How do we break this to Tony? And I think, you know, it was probably a situation where him and Jerry Jones talked about it. And, you know, I know that how Jerry Jones feels about Tony Romo. He's basically built the team around Tony Romo when everybody else was like, you probably should go in a different direction. So, I mean, as somebody, this seems a lot to me like Don Mattingly. I mean, it's the same area, the body, the back, you know what I'm saying? All-star, potential Hall of Famer, carry the team through the lean years. And right when they get good, poof.
It's over.
It's over.
Mm. And that, but do you think Tony Romo retires just like Don Mattingly did? Or do you think he ends up somewhere else?
I don't want him to end up somewhere else. I hope he's a member of the Dallas Cowboys coaching staff.
You're not going to be at the Meadowlands when he's wearing green next year?
No, I don't want him in the Meadowlands wearing green. I don't want him, I don't want him in Cleveland with Hugh Jackson. I want him.
But Hugh Jackson's your boy.
I love Hugh Jackson.
Yeah.
But I think I want him to be Jason Garrett's right-hand man.
Jerry Jones, Scotty, was saying yesterday that Tony Romo is going to be not just a good, but a great offensive coordinator in this league. Him saying that.
I think everybody knows that Tony Romo is going to be a coach in this league.
The same thing that he said about Jason Garrett all those years. Is Tony Romo a future head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, I could see him as that. You know, Tony Romo is a very smart football quarterback. I think he's always handled himself well publicly, so I'm not surprised what he did yesterday. I think he was a good, not great quarterback. I think there's a lot of people who are going to remember him as not being a winner, which in a lot of ways is unfair. I don't go the other way either. I don't think he's a potential Hall of Famer, but I think he was a pretty good quarterback. I wouldn't say he was elite. He was on that next level. I think he's a class guy, though.
Okay.
You guys are crazy.
Yeah, this is what I was waiting for. This is what I was waiting for.
This guy has $45 million. NFL coaches work 80 hours a week. There is no way in hell that he is going to stand on a sideline and he is going to work for the Dallas Cowboys in anything but a front office position. He is not going to be an offensive coordinator. He's not going to be a head coach. They work too much. He's going to have a family at home. He's going to have $45 million in the bank. There is no way that he is taking a basically low menial job in being an offensive coordinator, a head coach, when he has $45 million in the bank.
Along those lines, and going off what Tony said, and see, you know, I could, if he's got the mind of a coordinator, but he wants to continue to make a lot of money and be in that spotlight, you know, there's an analyst chair for that guy.
Mm. There's an analyst chair for that.
I don't know anyone else that made the money that he that's in coaching. That, like, give me an example.
Yeah, I could, but a lot of times. You know, well, I agree with Tony. A lot of times when you have a coach mind, put him in the broadcast booth and it enhances everything.
Well, wait, didn't Wayne Gretzky do this? Wayne Gretzky did this, Tony, didn't he? He was a coach.
Well, that's the NHL. They're the weirdest people in the world.
Okay.
And I don't think that they have the preparation that these NFL crazy coaches. I mean, these guys sleep on cots in the office and don't go home. So, I mean, have you seen what Candace Crawford looks like? This guy's going home.
So a guy like Barry Bonds, he made millions as a hitting coach. Then he comes back as a hitting coach of the Marlins. Same thing?
I think he's more like a figurehead than anything.
Still not a baseball coach. Basically, you show up with a ball bag and a couple of baseball bags. Yeah, you do your job.
Everybody line up.
And you get to travel. You get to travel and spend nights in other cities and hook up with all the women you've had an affair with in the past. Like, it's a great job, actually, for a guy like Barry Bonds.
Yeah, there's a PR move.
The NFL
lasted 1 year.
The NFL's a whole different scenario. These guys kill themselves, these coaches.
Yeah, you look at a guy like Jason Garrett.
Joe Gibson, I'm out. Take me to NASCAR.
Yeah, Jason Garrett was a backup quarterback in the NFL. You know, a lot of these coaches are position coaches. You know, it's like you look at the Eagles, I'm looking on the sideline. It's like, you know, it's not like Deuce Staley made a bazillion dollars. He's coaching the running backs.
There's not one superstar that's an NFL coach.
There's not one superstar that's an NFL coach. I like this challenge. I do. I'm going to have to think about this.
A guy who is at least a standout player who became a head coach.
What's that
like
nut?
Peyton Manning would be like.
Right.
And he's never going to do it because of the whole money situation.
Joey Porter.
Joey Porter's a coach? Oh, he's a defensive coach.
Yeah, but how much money did he make, you know?
He was an all-star in his day.
Yeah, but did he make a ton of money, though?
Well, playing for Pittsburgh, probably not, because, you know, Rooney's is cheap. But,
Joe's worth $14 million.
Joey Porter's worth $14 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's good money.
That's good money.
And a position coach.
Yeah, he's a position coach, Mike Singletary.
Was
a Hall of Famer, a bad coach, but a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. Mike Singletary works. Sure.
Help me out, people.
Art Shell.
Art Shell was one of the greatest offensive linemen
in history.
That's true, too.
He was. I don't know how much money they made back
then. That's the thing. That's the thing. I mean, mostly you're seeing a lot of backup quarterbacks in the job. Like, Doug Peterson was a backup quarterback forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Jason Garrett was a backup quarterback forever.
Because backup quarterbacks, they spend a lot of time
on the sideline.
With the clipboard, with the headset, you know what I'm saying? They're the first guy in the meetings, you know what I mean? Because when you're the backup quarterback, what's your job? To be ready.
Right.
And in order to be ready, you have to be prepared in the playbook aspect of the game so you can come in and run the offense at the drop of a dime.
Fantasy football-wise, I don't think that we've seen the last of Romo. He's going to be wearing a different uniform somehow next year. And, you know, people are going to be talking about, where do we draft this guy?
Where do you think he ends up, Tony, then?
I think there's a whole bunch. I think it's going to depend on, like, the Jets would definitely be a team that would love it. The Houston Texans for 1 year, let Brock Osweiler sit behind him. That's a ton of money to have him tied up at two quarterbacks. But it would make more sense for Tony Romo's standpoint and from the Houston Texans.
Yeah, and then he can stay home.
Huge PR move.
He could stay in Texas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And what's the woman's name?
Candace
Tony?
Crawford.
Candace Crawford. Let me look
the Rams.
Oh my.
Let me look this woman up.
Oh my God.
I've never seen
her before.
There's
no way. Yeah, there's no way you're sitting there talking to Ezekiel Elliott for 10 hours a day when this lady's home.
Yeah. Oh. You can go to the Rams and maybe, you know, it can almost like be a situation where they got a good quarterback for a year. They take some pressure off of Gurley. They got a good defense. And then you can tutor Jared Goff for the future. So that might be a good fit.
Hey, this is nice. You know, he did a good job.
Let me ask you a question, Greg. You, Sports Grid, you come across this stuff all the time.
Sure.
Who do you think have hotter wives, NFL quarterbacks or pro golfers?
Great question. I'm going to go with it's a great question. Oh, man. See, you got Paulina with the golfers, and Jason Day's wife is beautiful. I'm going to go with quarterbacks. I'm going to go with quarterbacks still. Because,
really?
Yeah, because the NFL quarterback is just that one prime position, you know, in the world. Like, you can be a guy that looks like Tom Brady, a flubby dude in college, to all of a sudden, several years later, he is married to one of the most famous supermodels in the world. So, you know.
I'd like the quarterback.
Kurt Warner's wife sets it all back, though.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, Brett Favre. Look at Brett Favre was sending meat mail to what's her name?
Chester.
Yeah, huh? He got that meat mail. He got
That's a good. I never heard it in that context. Meat mail. I think I'm gonna have to leave the meat mail for inspection. I think I'm gonna inspect.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I kind of like meat mail also.
You like meat mail?
I'm in on meat mail.
Be interesting if Romo ends up with the Jets. The Jets could say they both had Brett Favre and Tony Romo.
They would be able to say that.
Still
that,
didn't do anything.
If that happened.
Still didn't do nothing, huh, Scotty? Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I thought you'd find this interesting, Tony. Von Miller. Have you read about this, Tony?
I think I've seen something about this.
No.
You haven't seen this? Okay. So Von Miller is suing a woman to stop her from releasing a sex tape between them.
Von Miller.
Really?
Yes.
Von Miller is doing a lot.
Do you think that there's a reason that Von Miller is doing this?
He needs a career after football, reality show coming, maybe something like that.
Huh. You don't think that maybe he has something to hide?
Yeah, you know what?
Oh.
Because if I'm like,
just being honest.
I mean, if I'm Von Miller, you feel what I'm saying? I'm like,
whatever.
They say, whatever, release the tape. I don't care. I'm a maniac defensive lineman. Unless I'm like,
I think it's common sense, and he just doesn't want to get his private life out there. He wants to be private about it.
But you never know. Maybe you know what I'm saying. Maybe it was some fingers and this and anuses.
In the docs, Miller says he met a woman named Elizabeth Ruiz during a trip to Mexico in June 2016. The two had sex alone indoors. Miller says the woman recorded the sex on her cell phone, but he insisted at all times she keep it private. He claims he reached out to her after the trip and asked her to destroy the recording, to which she replied, quote, gotcha.
Wow. Wow, man. You never know. I tell you what, that'd be crazy if this tape get released and there's something wild on there, like fingers. You know what I'm saying?
I remember, like, you know, when people talk about stuff on Borat. Very nice. Not Von Miller. But I remember on the other platform, like, Lisa Ann used to talk about how, you know, athletes should be careful because everybody's looking to, like, you know, lure them into something.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And speaking...
Being the king, has anyone ever done that to you, Scott?
Only during the day.
No, I'm like an F-list celebrity.
You think you're on the F-list?
Yeah. It's like,
you really think that you're that high?
I just threw F out there because A, B, C, D, like, F has got to be like the lowest.
I don't know. Z-list probably the lowest.
Okay, I say I'm a Y-list
celebrity. You're a Y-list
celebrity. Yeah.
Who do you think's below you?
Who do I think's below me?
Yeah.
That's not nice.
How am I going to answer that question, Greg? They could only insult somebody by saying that.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I asked.
He wants you to insult somebody.
Right. You are. Like, for asking the question. I don't think so,
that
but, you know,
fair.
Just for asking the question, I should shoot it back that way.
Right. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
One more piece of news and notes from yesterday. I talked about Von Miller's sex tape. You read this thing about your girl, Meiko Grimes.
Yo, Meiko Grimes is wild. She's, yo, I meant to text somebody about this last night. Where is she from? because, like, she is off the chain. This is, you can never get into a thing with this woman right here. She, why is she going after Sage Steele?
I like Sage Steele. You don't like Sage Steele? Why not? Why
she's alright. She's alright. Sage Steele got a little bit of, you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Nico Grimes is just trying to make a name for herself.
I don't know what you're saying.
She had a radio show down in Florida. She's trying to become a media celebrity.
Well, you say that, but have you read any of this, Scott?
No, I haven't, but that was my impression
she's
of her
from St.
before
Louis.
This.
Yeah. I think when you go to St. Louis, I mean, that's where, what was the guy from Penthouse is from? The really grimy guy.
Larry Flint?
Yeah, he's Larry Flint, hails from St. Louis. Miko Grimes hails from St. Louis. Nelly hangs from St. Louis. There's a lot of crazy people out there. I think there must be something to do with the water. And I don't know if Miko Grimes... Everybody has an opinion, though, is entitled to opinion. I think it's a controversial topic. Mike Evans deciding to sit there in a national anthem.
Yeah.
I'll throw it out there.
Yeah. If you want to go check out what exactly Miko Grimes said, you can go to the Big Lead. It has a conversation. I can't actually read this on the air. I'm sure you would, Corey, but I can't do that.
This is, wow, she's off the chain, yo.
Yeah, check
but
that
like,
out.
If I'm homeboy, I'm like, yo.
What the F are you doing?
Yeah, shut up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, she has gotten him cut before.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Remember they had her outside the stadium in handcuffs? Like, I think, if I'm not mistaken, she's about to be a part of the Athlete Wives series or something like that. But even they were like, yo, you got to calm down, shorty. Yeah. You know what I mean? She's a little bit too much. I would stay as far away from this woman as I possibly could.
I agree with you.
I can't even clean these up.
I was thinking the same thing. I couldn't do it. Yeah, I can do it.
Oh my god!
Just trying to make a name for
Holy
herself. Since
crap!
Yeah.
Wow.
Coming up next to the Roto Experts, I give the guys
somebody put her in the mental ward.
I give the guys some rest of the season choices. We'll play some games.
That's fun.
We'll do it next. The Roto Experts. Crazy, since Miko called out Kate Upton, I had to go take a look at Kate, see what she's up to. It's crazy that Justin Verlander ended up with Kate Upton, isn't it? That's like a random one to me. Like, he's a Detroit Tiger pitcher.
Yeah, but he was like winning Cy Young after Cy Young, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow. I know they did a commercial. Wow. I know they did a commercial together.
Wow, I hope this tape comes out.
Why?
Why? You want to see her?
She's gorgeous.
I'm sure you can find her naked somewhere else.
Yeah. You want to watch? You want to see Von Miller? You want to see Von Miller little? You want to see Von Miller little weenus?
No, Elizabeth Ruiz she's banging. Oh wow!
So it's interesting. Scott's man is more of a Elizabeth Ruiz.
Scott, what if she put a tape out of you, Scott?
What? I'd just be glad to be in it with her. Wow!
Scott, be like the tape is out.
Can
we just make sure we get a cut for Roto Experts? You know what I'm saying?
It's great. Jason Whitlock's even involved in this thing now. Yeah. Once he gets involved, it's real.
And Whitlock's involved in what? This Von Miller or Miko Grimes?
Miko Grimes.
Yeah. I know Whitlock is talking trash about Miko.
Yeah.
He wants Brett Grimes cut over this whole thing.
Oh my god, that's too much. That's too much.
Yeah, that's not right. My man should lose his job over this.
He done lost one job behind this woman.
Yeah.
He needs to get away from this woman, though. Yeah. I agree with everybody on that. He needs to get as far away from Miko as possible. You know, let me not talk too much. I was talking with somebody in the industry, right?
Yeah.
And I was talking about how Aisha Curry.
Yeah.
Down the stretch, I love Aisha Curry.
Right.
Last year, down the stretch, too much.
Too much. Yeah.
Too much down the stretch last year.
Yeah.
She became a part of the story. Miko Grimes. This is way too much.
Way too far, yeah.
I was talking to a female in the industry.
Right.
And she was like, well, I don't have to just sit back and watch my husband play. If I have an opinion on it, I can give it. And when I say Ryan Tannehill sucks, I have no problem saying Ryan Tannehill sucks. I'm not just this athlete wife is going to sit back and raise kids.
Yeah, no, I get it. You're allowed to have your opinion, but
it's the way you present it.
Right.
I would like to hear some female callers' opinions.
Females can give us a call 844-843-6879. But the fact is, even let's say my wife is in the media. My wife is doing something, right? She's a famous athlete. I can't go out on Twitter and blast my wife's teammates. Yeah, I can't do that.
It's about the way you put things.
Right. You can have an opinion.
So I had a girlfriend one time that she'd be on Facebook and she would be killing Obama all the time. I was like, this can't happen. Either she got to get rid of Facebook or I get rid of her. Like this is like these. I don't know whether it's right or wrong. You're associated with these people and it's a reflection on you.
Absolutely.
And to read this stuff, like he's got to stand up and he's got to make a decision what he wants. An NFL career only lasts so long, and it's going to come to a point in his career when his skills start declining. When teams say, you know what? He's not that great anymore. He's not worth this aggravation.
Not worth
the headache. You don't want an Anna Benson sort of situation. And even Tony, who will call Jake Seeley a dick and make fun of Dr. Roto, even he has a line that you can't go over.
I wouldn't say some of these words that were out here.
No.
Now,
this is crazy.
They have, and the thing about it is she's a parent. They have a son, mm-hmm. Brent Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Aiden Grimes.
Brent's the husband, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Brent's the husband. They have a son, Aiden Grimes, young fella. Listen, as a parent too, you have to be careful of this type of activity. So, I hate to say it, you know what I'm saying, but man, if I'm Brent, I'm like, yo.
What have they done that already?
But see, that's the thing about it is he. Can you imagine in the locker room, his teammates can't have no respect for him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Or you know what I'm saying? Like. You know
that can cause a fight in the locker room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying?
You know, like, keep her quiet. You know, somebody just gotta say that, and all of a sudden there's a fight. You know,
I hate to say this, but he's probably ruining her. This woman is probably ruining his life.
Yeah,
he's probably sitting in the house right now, like drinking a Colt 45. You know what I'm saying? Trying to figure out where he went wrong.
Yeah,
but he could have fixed this years ago.
Yeah.
He chose not to.
But you never know. This snatch might be bomb. You feel what I'm saying? So the head could be crazy.
Yeah. So we said this yet. You can't say that.
On the radio?
Right.
Mike. Oh, my bad.
Well, it's not,
he was talking about
where we used to be.
Snatch and curl. Yeah.
He's
talking about the playbook.
Yeah.
This girl, Mrs. Evans, Ashley Dotson.
Yeah.
She doesn't look like the aggressive type. I don't think there'll be a locker room battle between these people.
No,
she's very...
Ashley Dotson, she supported Mike Evans. She supported Mike Evans.
Yeah, who is Mike Evans?
I was going to say, if she wants to fight Miko, she's not going to...
No, I'm saying Miko supported what Mike Evans did. Sage Steele came out and was angry.
Yeah, that's true. I get the wrong combatants here.
Yeah.
We should have... This would be great if we had women fighting.
Oh,
are you into that?
I'm not.
Is it on Sports Grid or some site where they're like two Eagles fans got into a cat fight this weekend?
Yeah, it sounds like us.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you feel wrong watching the UFC when the women fight?
I don't feel wrong, but it doesn't like turn me on in any way. I'm just like, whatever. It's just women fighting. I don't like.
No, but you're okay. Like, some people are against it. Like, they don't think it should be allowed.
No, it's fine. I don't.
Not like Foxy boxing at the Gentleman's Club.
what are you talking about?
Scott, Scott going to promo days.
Wait.
$2 Tuesdays, boxing night.
What the hell is Foxy Boxy?
They used to have the strippers box each other.
Did that do it for you?
I never actually saw it, to be honest with you. It was always advertised, though.
Foxy Boxing.
Foxy Boxing.
Wow.
How'd you miss that, Scott?
Because I don't want to go there when there's some event going on, because then, you know, then like there's no lap dances, everything, like everybody's forced to watch it. You know, I didn't want to go see that.
Damn, you're really into these lap dances. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, Sussman, I got to ask you seem like the ethical one.
I agree with that.
Yeah, can you help me out on cock blocking? This is a situation where I think fantasy-wise basically, Engel's team's in first place in the Greenwich Street Tavern League.
Right.
And he's playing the best team in the league, who's in first place in the other division.
Right.
But the guy's got two running backs.
Right.
That are on bye this week.
Okay.
So he's hurting. So I'm thinking about trading him two running backs because I'm two games behind Scott.
Sure.
And Scott actually has the fourth best win total. So if I can tie him, I'll win the division. And do you think it's a good move, strategy-wise, to trade two running backs to this team to make sure he beats Scott this week head-to-head because his roster's depleted?
Yeah, if you can afford it, yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah, I have extra running backs.
Yeah, I would definitely do it. So I like playing fantasy defense. I'm in on it.
And I'm glad Tony brought this up because, Scott, you are 100% against this type of activity. You are a guy, you run your own team
Correct.
And don't worry about yep. other teams. What Tony's doing right now is running his own team, but he sees where he could take an advantage of a situation. I think it's brilliant. And I think it's a lesson to be learned to the king.
First off, let the barbers be accurate. Uh-oh. I'm not completely against it.
Scott, you've said you worry about your team.
Many times,
Scott. You said you don't worry about your opponents. You worry about your team and your tone
only.
Okay. You actually say, hold on,
I'm not totally against it. I think I can see what Tony is doing, but it's not something that I personally do because I feel like if my squad is good enough, it's going to go out there. I'm going to win the game. I'm in position to be higher in the standings right now. I don't have to worry about this. Tony's playing. I understand where Tony's come from. I kind of admire when you and guys like that, Tony, do it. I think sometimes it goes too far a little bit, you know, because like I say, nothing is absolute. I can see where he's going with this, and he's delved very deep, and I kind of have an admiration for that, and you've done that yourself. But, you know, this is not something that I'm active. I focus on my own team first and foremost, and if that takes care of itself, I feel like I don't have to worry about the rest of that.
I think what he's doing is brilliant. Because the bottom line is,
I can't say I disagree with you.
Yeah, he's in a situation.
I'm not going to tell him not to know
where
nobody
trying
to do this.
He's trying to catch you. And there's money in this league. There's money on the line.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going for that.
Let me tell you something. In the fantasy playoffs, and he's taking like a playoff angle, when it, you know, I will pick up guys and try to block other teams because there's one game on the line.
Wait, how do you do that? How do you do that? You don't look at your team until you don't look at your opponent until 7:30 that Sunday
said
night.
I said during the regular season.
Hey, but you say during the playoffs it'll be 4:00, you said.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you pick up players to block if you don't look at your opponent until 4:00?
I don't do that during the fantasy playoffs.
You said during the playoffs.
I don't look at the score of the game itself until 4:00.
But you will look at your opponent earlier in the week.
Yeah, I'll just look at it and see, like, okay, you know, does he have a big injury? Like, you know, does he have Jordan Howard out and I got to go out there and pick up Jeremy Langford?
But you won't do that during the regular season.
No. I think there's way too many other factors playing into my own
roster.
So
doesn't that,
like, bye weeks, et cetera, that I can't, that it doesn't, my priorities change.
But doesn't that put you at a disadvantage? Tony is able to look at your opponent and be like, wow, I need to catch Scott. I can help him out, trade him my extra running backs. You would never know that.
I don't look for that at this time of year. I'm trying to build my own ideal lineup.
You got
to
look at this time of year, bro.
I try to build my own ideal lineup, and if I can, everything else will take care of itself.
But you would never know that. Like, Tony knows that because he looked at his opponent.
Right, and you know that's how Tony operates. I operate differently.
Okay.
I think it's an excellent
idea. Don't you think, though, the last 3 weeks, though, Scott, it's changed the mentality in the regular season? Like I have to win all three games to make the playoffs, and I know that. So the playoffs for me starts this week. So don't you think that that's what people should be doing? Even though it's the regular season, for a lot of people, it is the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm paying $15 for a defense.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But believe me, this is all good stuff. This is all good stuff. It's just like this. I obsess so much about my own team.
Roster
and
bait.
And you know I roster bait a lot. It's like my right hand gets tired. I got hair growing on my fingers from overhead in my lineup. Okay, I have to stop at some point and say, you know, because if I start doing that, then I start overthinking things, and then I outthink myself.
Okay, I feel what you're saying
on
that
one. Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? Greg, after further inspection,
yes.
the hair growing on the fingers is not where I wanted this thing to go.
That's too much even for Tony. And Tony will come way out of left center field with something.
Oh,
but roster baiting has nothing to do with
I've called league mates and be like, yo, listen, son is trying to trade somebody to try to do this and do that. Like I'm grimy.
You're aggressive.
I play from the bottom of the barrel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't do. I don't veto trades because the guy's ahead of me in the standings.
Yep. No, I do all that.
I don't try to block trades for other teams.
You taught me there's no friends in fantasy football.
That's true. But
I play from the bottom of the deck.
It's like I can't stop over worrying about other teams because if I manage my own roster, everything will take care of itself.
Not in this situation. Tony's coming for you this week.
That's okay. It would be the first time somebody came for me.
Ooh.
We're going to break. We're going to talk about players for the rest of the season next to the Roto Experts. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the morning. We'll talk some players for the rest of the season in a little bit. But joining us a little early here on a Wednesday morning from Inside Injuries, it's Dr. A. Good morning, Dr. A.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing tremendous here. Tremendous on
Wednesday
morning.
Saw that hit that Gronk took? It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Well, let's start right there with Rob Gronkowski, because I have no idea what to think about this injury with his chest. He's got a perforated lung. I have no idea what that means, and all I know is that he can't fly with it. What is going on with Rob Gronkowski?
So Gronk, you know, you saw that he took a significant, what we call blunt force trauma hit to the chest. And a punctured lung basically is air getting trapped essentially on the outside of the lung, but within the cavity of the chest. So it's kind of pushing against the lung, not allowing it to expand. That's a punctured lung. And so, you know, they say he did have a punctured lung, then report saying he didn't, and now he can't fly in a plane. So here's how we're breaking it down. He probably, what they can see on the x-ray and on the CAT scan of the chest, they can't see a punctured lung. But they don't want to risk it because microscopic air you can't see. So if he goes on an airplane, that depressurization, you know, and as you go to the altitude, you know how when your ears pop basically on an airplane?
Yep.
It's the same concept. You don't want that lung to collapse on an airplane just in case. So, you know, that's probably what's happening. They can't really see a punctured lung, but they want to take extra precaution to make sure that, you know, it does not collapse basically this week.
What's the difference between a punctured lung and a perforated lung?
So there's really no difference except for the fact that perforated sounds worse than punctured, basically. I mean, perforation and puncture, basically there's a small opening or a tear in the outer lung lining. So perforation versus puncture, puncture is more like a hole versus perforation is more like a tear, basically. So, you know, either way, you don't want, you don't want air to get out of that area and then start compressing the lung. And so, and I got to tell you, when I saw that hit, I was watching that game, actually, and I saw that hit, that is almost exactly how people get punctured lungs when they're in a motor vehicle accident, you know, when they hit the steering wheel, you know. So it's kind of, just imagine that, right? The impact of that injury. It's almost like a motor vehicle accident.
How long does something like this keep you out of football for?
So right now we're looking at this. If he does not have a punctured lung and they're just being precautionary, he probably just has bruised ribs. And that should sort of, they'll probably watch it for 2 weeks. And then if he's still fine in his breathing tests and his numbers, from a pulmonary function standpoint and his x-rays and everything look okay, he should be back after two weeks, basically at the earliest in what's medically feasible, sort of in our opinion. However, if he has any type of, you know, rib fracture or any setback or anything like that, 2 weeks can turn into 8 weeks, and it can be almost season ending. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what the statuses are today, tomorrow, and then on Friday to kind of see where he's at. But I highly doubt he's going to be playing in this next game. And the way they're describing and the way algorithms are stating it, you know, he is, you know, likely going to be out for a couple of weeks. And right now our algorithms are saying that he's a cautious start because he has an elevated injury risk again, but his performance factor is above average right now. However, once we start to get more information by Friday, his numbers can drastically change. So basically don't expect him to be in the next game and possibly another week.
Definitely a big time hit. They were tweeting with each other, Earl Thomas and Rob Gronkowski, about that play. Doc, before people go to the waiver wire and drop a whole bunch of money for Tyreek Hill of the Kansas City Chiefs, what's the latest on Jeremy Maclin?
Okay, Jeremy Maclin. You know, they're talking about this groin injury. Our algorithms are still saying it's a grade one groin injury. It's not a two or a three. So what's happening, I believe, is that he's taking it extra. They're just being extremely cautious with him. And it's probably inhibiting him quite significantly. A lot of times a grade one groin, because of just kind of where it's located and it impacts basically every movement on the body, it's really impacting his ability to sort of be useful. And so it's not clear when he'll be back. And what we have to do is really monitor practice participation. You know, if he's continuing to have DNPs for, you know, did not practices and not really working his way back up to full practice, you know, it's probably a worse than they're actually telling us it is. And actually, the algorithm thinks it's worse, and it's his injury risk is high and his HPF is below average. So honestly, he, in our opinion, he's probably someone that you want to replace through waiver wire.
With Jordan Howard, you know, the coach John Fox said he may have suffered an Achilles or ankle injury. And then Howard was debating that publicly. Is there any insight can you give us possibly to what's going on with Jordan Howard?
Yeah, so one little small school of thought, right? When you hear the word Achilles, right? Everyone sort of, you know, the radar goes up, right? Because that's possibly a career-ending type of injury. However, if you look at it, he's downplaying the injury, and, you know, there's a little bit of mixed messages from the team. We will see if he practice. What's his practice status look like this weekend? Any more information that's coming out? Right now, we're listing it as just a grade one ankle injury. And right now, based on that and based on all of his previous injuries, which is not that many, he's still a start in our book. He's a low injury risk and above average HPF right now. He's not at peak health yet. He's above average. But let's just see when he practices today, tomorrow, let's see what his statuses look like. Because if he does start to practice and he's in full practice mode, then he's no doubt going to be a start.
Talking to Dr. A here for Inside Injuries, Tony, with Jordan Howard and Jeremy Maclin and Rob Gronkowski. Tony, I know you got a whole lot more lined up.
Oh, it's all about the Benjamins, Dr. A. I'm sure you're familiar with that reference. And what about Travis Benjamin?
So Travis Benjamin, you know, he injured his knee in week 6. Then he played the next 3 weeks, which was a no-no, and he didn't look like he was healthy, and he got re-injured in week 9. He has a grade 3 PCL sprain, according to what our algorithms are configuring. And he didn't play week 10, and they have a bye now. But his injury risk is still high, and his health performance factor is still below average. And in our book, that is a do not start. When you have a knee injury that occurs and then you play through it and then you re-injure it and then you basically don't play the next game, there's a high likelihood that it's not just now the original injury that's re-injured. There's a high likelihood that there's another injury within the knee potentially that is setting him back. So he is a do not start for sure in our book.
There you go, Dr. A, Inside Injuries, chatting with him, as we will do every Wednesday morning here on the program, which is exciting.
Yeah, and I got one last one for you, though, because I'm just very concerned on this guy. Lamar Miller and his shoulder, you know, he actually came out of the game this past week. He's been able to try to play through it, but it doesn't seem like he's been 100%.
Yeah, so right now, the severity of that injury, what we're determining is it's a grade one shoulder injury, so it's not severe, but, you know, top that off with his ankle injury. He's got a minor ankle tweak that he sustained on Sunday. He did return at halftime, which is a good sign, but just look at his numbers and his carries, you know, because of these two sort of ticky-tack injuries. You know, it's significant drop in carries. And so we don't see that changing in the short term future, that he's probably going to be caught. They're going to be cautious with him, limit his carries. You know, it's one of these injuries that are sort of a nagging type injury that he's telling the team that he's fine. He's going to play through this. But at the end of the day, you guys talked about all about the Benjamins, but it's all about the numbers. Numbers don't lie, right? And so here, his numbers have just not been, you know, where they need to be, and it's mainly because of that the ankle tweak and the grade one shoulder. All said and done, he's still a cautious start in our book. He's not a definite start. He's not at peak health. He's at above average, and his injury risk is elevated. It's not low. So he's a cautious start in our book. But, the good news is he doesn't have a severe shoulder injury. But he needs to rest, right? You can't just keep playing every game and try to, you know, get better. Yeah, what he should do is basically take a week off, come back, and see if he can drop into peak health.
You know, now that you're talking about these guys getting back to peak health, one guy that has waited a long time to come back is Thomas Rawls of the Seahawks. We know he's going to come back this weekend because Christian Michael was cut. CJ Procise got the start here last week. Rawls is coming back. What do we expect from him coming back this week? Can we start him on our teams?
Okay. So he had a hairline fracture of his fibula, which is the small bone in the lower leg, the thin bone that goes all the way down to the ankle. He had that in week two. So he's had 9 weeks to recover. It is plenty of time for healing of a hairline fracture. And he hasn't had any setbacks that we know of, okay? And he was a limited participant in practice last week. So the one thing that you have to be concerned about with him is that he missed the end of the 2015 season because of a broken ankle, okay? Even though that injury is not the fibula, but, you know, he has an ankle fracture in his past. However, having said all of that, our algorithms are still saying he's now back to peak health at HPF of peak, and his injury risk is low. So he is a start, according to everything that we're seeing and putting together into the algorithm.
There you go. That is Dr. Ray, Inside Injuries. You can listen to him each and every Wednesday here with us on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Dr. Ray, we appreciate the time.
Thank you very much, guys. Looking forward to it next time.
There we go. When we come back, we're going to try to get the rest of the season, guys, because I'm excited to talk about it. Corey, you got a game coming up soon.
Yep.
Excited for that. We do it all on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We roll on a Wednesday morning right after this. Remember, each and every morning, you can tweet at us at FNTSY Radio, at Scott E. RotoX, at the Tony Cincata, at the Fantasy Exec, and of course, at me, at Greg Sussman. And with that, Scotty, we like to read your tweets, answer them online, and get the experts to answer your questions. So, Scotty, what do you got?
Jim Martell has a few questions here. First, do I start Luck or Mariota?
I will say you start Andrew Luck.
Okay, he also he needs two flex in standard from Kelly, Edelman, Crowder, Snead, Howard, Shepard.
What are we doing here?
We got a whole team here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He needs two flexes from what's these guys' names, Scotty?
Kelly, Edelman, Crowder, Snead, Howard,
Shepard. I heard Crowder.
I heard Crowder.
And I know Crowder should not be removed from your lineup. So,
what are the other guys, though?
Snead, Howard, Shepard, Kelly, Edelman.
I don't know if you can start Jameson Crowder. I don't know. It's just way too many people.
It's a standard. Crowder has like become like a top 15 guy.
Yeah, and you start Crowder. Crowder, you doesn't take out your lineup. And I think
so. You got Kelly, Edelman, Snead, Howard, and Shepard. Does Tony have an opinion on this?
I guess not.
I would go Howard. Howard against New York. Yeah, Howard if he plays is the guy I'm going for.
Okay.
Joe Rodriguez said trade deadline for me today. Melvin Gordon from Mike Evans and Doug Martin.
Melvin Gordon from Mike Evans and Doug Martin. Now, it's going to depend because Melvin Gordon's on a bye this week. So you might need him. Obviously, you might need the win this week. Go after Mike Evans here. And, you know, I get it if you need the bye.
So he's trading Melvin Gordon and Doug Martin?
He's trading Melvin Gordon for Mike Evans and Doug Martin. He's trying to get Buccaneers.
You do this, yes.
Yeah, you do this, but who's offering you this? This is a horrible trade.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm doing it.
Why do you say it's a horrible trade?
Why are you trading? You trading Melvin Gordon and Mike Evans?
No, you're trading Melvin Gordon for Mike Evans and Doug Martin.
But who's giving you Mike Evans and Doug Martin for Melvin Gordon? Somebody that needs running back help.
Melvin Gordon's awesome.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like Melvin Gordon.
This could be. Remember how trades are sometimes phrased. He might be. Should I offer this?
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Okay.
It's not necessarily on the table. Nestor said, "Should I trade my Delanie Walker for Demaryius Thomas? My other tight end is Eifert, PPR.
Delanie for Demaryius.
Yes.
Demaryius on a bye. Demaryius on a bye. So he's obviously using this opportunity. Guy that need a tight end on a bye. So trade for Demaryius. What do you think, Cor?
I say do it.
I say do it also.
Yep.
I say do it also.
You do all your trades.
Do all your trades.
You know, I'm not like when I'm not physically in your league, I can't really give you a good idea of what a good trade is in your league. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
I don't know the scoring, the keepers, how different guys play.
I just want you evaluate it on trade value.
And when I'm talking player for player, that's you know, I can give you my opinion, but I don't know if I'm really giving you the best opinion when we're talking about your own specific league.
Jason Hebert says, should I drop Mariota and pick up Jeremy Langford? I have Andrew Luck and two running backs from ProSize Hill and Terrence West.
First of all, you shouldn't have Andrew Luck and Marcus Mariota on your team.
Right.
But then again, you probably got Luck early and you got Mariota late. Mariota's playing like a top 10 fantasy quarterback
right now.
So you don't send him to the waiver wire to pick up Jeremy Langford.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
There's got to be somebody else in the team that you can drop. Because you put Mariota on the waiver wire, then you've got to play against him in week 16. And you'll get your ass handed to you.
Right.
He needs two running backs from ProSize Hill and Terrence West.
I want to bench. I'm going to start ProSize.
I bench West.
I probably
bench West too.
As well.
I'm playing ProSize and Hill.
I'm benching West as well. All right, those are your tweets. You tweeted us at ScottyRotoX, at TheTonySincana, at The Fantasy Exec, and of course, at me, at Greg Sussman. You know, we're talking about all these guys, and you keep mentioning Marcus Mariota.
I love him.
So,
Man Crush Monday.
Who you got the rest of the way, Marcus Mariota or Eli Manning?
Marcus Mariota.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm looking at my in-season ranks on rotoexperts.com right now. I just posted them last night. You know, it's not even close to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do you have him at end season or rest of the season rankings? I'm curious to hear this, King.
I got Mariota at 9. I have Eli at 18.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's the thing about quarterback, though, is that we say, okay, if he's not 12, he's not startable. I can go down to, I would say, you know, 18 or 19, and you could start all those guys.
What about Tyrod Taylor? Where's he at rest of season?
17. But it's not an indictment.
I feel like he should be higher than that.
But it's not an indictment on him. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these guys, like, I'll have 15 and 16. They're very close to Tyrod. Just quarterback is so deep.
You don't think he should be a top 12, top guy?
That's the thing. By not saying he's not top 12, it's not an indictment on him. I could come.
Why are you getting defensive?
No, I'm not getting defensive.
I think you're upset with Tyrod Taylor because the way he manhandled the Seattle Seahawks defense on Monday Night Football a couple weeks ago.
This has nothing to do with this.
I think you're holding the grudge against Tyrod Taylor.
You're the one who gets biased to say Tony Romo's potential Hall of Fame, which was ridiculous.
Look at the numbers.
Yeah. Well,
look at the numbers.
Regular season numbers.
Look at the numbers.
Regular season numbers.
Okay.
But let's get back
to Peyton Manning was regular season numbers too, right?
Peyton Manning won Super Bowls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tony Romo never even got even conference title game.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Don't get mad because don't misrank Tyrod Taylor because he threw for 300 yards against the Seattle Seahawks.
He has nothing to do with it. And take your sudden hatred of the Seahawks out of this because you know you're threatened by them. I'm saying it's not an indictment on Taylor. Just quarterback is so deep. I could look at – you know, guys 14 to 17, they're so closely ranked.
But
it's not an indictment on Taylor.
But my thing is, like, 17, it's not an indictment on Taylor, but 17 is one thing and closely ranked is another. But he should be in the top 10 because he's
I can't put him in the top 10.
But he's performing in the top 10, Scott.
I can't put him in the top 10,
but he's...
He doesn't have enough weapons for the rest of the way from me. He doesn't. But it's not... Look, if somebody wants to start him, I don't have a problem with it. It's like, you know, there's way too many guys ahead of him. They're just... I'd rather have the rest of the way. I got Winston ahead of him.
Dr. A just said the numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie.
Look, all these guys are closely ranked,
right.
Okay. I got Winston right ahead of him. I got Bortles at 15. I got Cousins at 14. I got Prescott at 13. All those guys can start.
All right. I hope names ahead of him are not Cam Newton.
No. Well, okay. I got Cam Newton. Yeah, Cam Newton's like, you know, still, you know, Cam
he's
has
having a better season than Cam
has that. Cam has that. Still has that rushing ability.
Carson Palmer's not ahead of him, is he?
No.
What about Joe? What about Joe Flacco?
No, that's crazy. What are you talking about?
Well,
who do you think
you're
talking to here?
I'm talking
Joe Flacco over Tyrod Taylor. Come on.
I'm talking to Scott Engel.
Yeah,
the king.
Yeah, I have Winston, Bortles, Cousins, Prescott, Rivers, Stafford. You know, it's like
go to the gentlemen's in the daytime.
Yeah, all those guys can go with me to the strip club.
Yeah, they're gonna pay for it too.
That's right.
Right,
they better.
Tony, where are you on this Tyrod Taylor stuff? All right,
he's not in on it.
No.
Wait,
what, Tony?
Do you worry about the schedule the rest of the week? Do you look at the schedule the rest of the year?
I take some of that into consideration, yeah.
Some of it, you either do or you don't.
Well, some of these guys are like, you know, I'm going to use them no matter what the matchup is, you know, especially when I get up high.
All right, so Marcus Mariota, for example.
So what, schedule the rest of the way? Yeah, it's pretty friendly.
No, it's not. Not in the playoffs, it's not. It's awful.
Well, like the next 2 weeks, I think it's pretty good.
And then he's got a bye week 13.
And then he's got the big week 14, the first week of the playoff. I think he has
Denver,
the Broncos.
He's got Denver.
He's got Indianapolis and Chicago coming up, though.
Yes, he does.
That's true,
yeah.
Too.
We'll talk more about this. We got a little trivia coming from Corey Parson. We do it all when we return on the Roto Experts. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on Demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.